Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night, you're listening to Bad Company with Great Eyes Smith. And this show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com that help support these shows. So feel free to check those out. And the Tonight Show is based on a contest that was ran by Pam Ray, myself, and Mimi Wildov, and it's based on quotes. And these are the quotes. One, sometimes dreams are wiser than waking. Two, and when I breathed, my breath was lightning. Three, after the horse dance was over, it seemed I was above the ground. It did not touch it when I walked. Four, to use the power of the bison, I had to perform that part of my vision for the people to see. Grandfather, Great Spirit, once more behold me on earth and lean forward to hear my feeble voice. And finally, six, behold this day, it is yours to make. And seven, as you walk upon the sacred earth, treat each step as a prayer. And so that's the gist of tonight's show. And I'm going to bring on some callers here. Hello, area code 715. Is that you, Pam?
It is me. Hello, Grace. Good to hear you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. And I'm going to bring on another caller here.
All right.
And we have, I believe it's Naomi. Is that you, Naomi?
Oh, yes, it's me. Happy birthday, Gray.
thank you. I appreciate that. A little bit younger every year, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to post the first poem here. And if you wouldn't mind reading this, Pam, that would be great.
I'd be happy to. All right. Dream Comes True by Atta Karan. I go for an early morning walk. This walk helps me in relaxing and helps me in my well-being on cold, chilly winter days. Due to my aches and pains, I am not happy in the morning and avoid going for the walks. I tried to cuddle up in bed and dream about the things I like to achieve in my life. People say at times dreams come true, and if we do not dream, we do not know what we need to achieve in our own life. I feel that at times it is better to dream rather than going for a walk. I believe in miracles, and I feel sometimes our dreams come as a miracle. End poem.
Beautiful read, Tim. I thought that was a wonderful take on the prompt. I like the, I feel that it's sometimes better to dream rather than going for a walk. I believe in miracles, and I feel sometimes our dreams come as a miracle. And, that's absolutely truthful. And, if we don't dare to dream, then what do we have? To be awake all the time would be sad. And, to be able to slip off into dream world is a beautiful thing. So I thought you captured the prompt wonderfully. What did you think, Naomi?
Mute. This is a wonderful write by Adi Karen. You have to believe in your dreams sometimes, and you have to allow yourself the right to dream, because, without dreaming, what would be our life? And dreams do come true. And like he says, people say at times dreams come true. And if we do not dream, we do not know what we need to achieve in our life. And that's so, so true. We words of wisdom, keep on dreaming. And very well written. Bravo.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
This is a beautiful write on the whole idea of how important it is to believe in dreams and believe in miracles. But I also like how it covers in the beginning the idea of physically taking care of yourself, but also at the same time realizing that oftentimes we have limitations in being able to do that. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Beautiful comment. Okay, Naomi, have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind giving that a read, please.
Okay. And I am off mute. Okay, this is by Chromatic Prayer. Wisdom of the moon. Dream of a red desert and a caravan. There are no spoken words, the clinking of metals. The sun is there, but invisible. No horse is seen, yet there is the clatter of horse hooves. The wind is speaking, a language meant for the mad and furious. I'm waiting and waiting. The clock is mute. Then I wake up, middle of the night. Moonbeam is on the floor. I can read the moon, easier than going back to sleep. It is offering me comforting words, the words of soft white and hard silence. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I really like it. You know, I liked his the spiritual walk with the moon. And, you know, the wonderful imagery that he's put in here is beautiful as well. You know, a dream of a red desert and a caravan. There are no spoken words, the clinking of metal. The sun is there, but invisible. No horse is seen, but yet there is clatter of horse hooves. You know, when you're awake in a dream and you can see all this, that's a wonderful thing. So just beautiful, right? And fantastic read, Naomi. Pat, what did you think?
This is a beautiful and thoughtful spiritual write. I like how it's such a great take on the prompt and also has a kind of a Jim Morrison type vibe to it, especially in the first couple of stanzas, to me anyways. I love the personification of nature and the communication with the moonbeam. I'm particularly drawn by moonbeam is on the floor. I can read the moon easier than going back to sleep. It is offering me comforting words. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here and I'll post this up. Okay, so this is by Kingsley Medland. It's called Dreams Are Wiser. When long days set us to task, is a little more sleep too much to ask? Are those stories conjured and told in our minds often not better than the days we find? Are the unconscious desires and wishes not more desirable than life's daily dishes? What are the play of these revealed emotions? Far better than going through the motions. All in life is perhaps not what it seems. Are nicer things found in our dreams? And when we've dreamt, where do they go? Some fleeting memory of what was so. If our dreams are nice, then there's no mistaking. Sometimes dreams are wiser than waking. Wow. I like his take on the prompt. He really captured it wonderfully. When long days are set us to task, is a little more sleep too much to ask? Often our days are not better than days we find. Are the unconscious desires and wishes not more desirable than life's daily dishes? I mean, you know, it truly is. And, you know, that... like I said, being able to be awake in your dreams and hold on to them in the end is a wonderful thing. So it's a beautiful write, Kingsley. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this was definitely a great take on the prompt. And what I like is he doesn't just write about the importance of dreams, which, of course, are extremely important, but he writes about, to me anyways, the importance of rest. And I like how he took that when long days set us to task is a little more sleep too much to ask. You know, because we do live in a society, in a world where, you know, the expectations are that you constantly go, and never really take time to rest, charge down or recharge your batteries. And I feel like that's a lot of what this is talking about. So excellent write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I agree with both of you. You know, you both had amazing comments. I agree so much. Beautiful take on the prompt, wonderfully written. The only thing I'll add is I love is the metaphor of the daily the dishes there. You know, I think that's a wonderful metaphor of, for the the monotony of life, you know, just the routinely stuff, you know, of every day. I think that was beautifully written there. So amazing, amazing write. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. Great comment. Okay, Pam, you're up next, please. Thank you.
All right. What we got here. All right. Sun Warrior by Horace B. Bush. And it goes like this. Ancestral sun smile approvingly, sweat beads pour from every pore, every heartbeat pound, pound, pounding to the rhythm of the kettle drum. The enchanting smell of sweet grass tickles my nose. My legs, feet, arms whirl in an ecstatic frenzy. I am the dance, I am the dance, I am the dance. The ground, no longer ground, when touched feels like plucked angel feathers, all in twirling light. Let us heal, Pachamama. Let us heal each other. Let us heal ourselves. Aho, and poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And so Pachamama is a goddess recovered by the indigenous, or revered by the indigenous peoples of the Andes. In Inca mythology, she is an earth mother type goddess and fertility goddess who presides over planting and harvesting, embodies the mountain, and causes earthquakes. So I like this historical touch to that. And, I really like this take on the prompt. You know, it's this prompt was prompt after the horse dance was over. It seemed I was above the ground and did not touch it when I walked. So, yeah, beautiful take on the prompt. You know, you can see his dancing and his heart pounding, pounding, pounding to the rhythm of the kettle drum and the enchanting smell of sweet grass. And then my legs and my feet, my arms whirl in ecstatic frenzy. I am the dance. I am the dance. I am the dance. Yeah, stunning, right? Beautifully read, Pam. And what did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, I thought this was amazing. I love the repetition, and I love that information that you gave us, Gray, you know, really extended on the poem, you know, and all developed all its meaning further. The ground no longer ground when touched feels like plucked angel feathers. All is twirling light. Let us heal. And let us heal each other. Let us heal ourselves. Very thought-provoking message. Very spiritual right all through. And very powerful right. With the repetition in it, and very well written. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. Great comments. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like this one. The sense of repetition and the rhythmic feeling of the poem really adds to it. It is a powerful spiritual rite. I really like pounding to the rhythm of the kettle drum. I am the dance, I am the dance, I am the dance. You know, it just, the words really do just dance along and add to the atmosphere. And I, too, thought it was really cool that you gave us that extra information there, Gray, because it does add to the depth of the poem. So this is very well done.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Naomi, you're up next to read, please.
Are you on mute, Naomi? Oh, yes, I'm on mute. sorry. Okay, by Dark and Doris. A lashing out. My mind was a cesspool of rotten thoughts. There was a pain in my heart, heavy like a stone, dropped and anchored at the bottom of the sea. I wanted others to feel my pain. Every word escaping my mouth towards others was venom, prongs from a snake's bite. Every breath like lightning, a shock to all who heard, coursing through the veins of those struck. A flash of words wanting to embed into the muscles and weaken to strike a nerve. And when all is said and done, taper off back into the clouded thoughts and let loose the rain, tears to stain my eyes to rinse away the anger to echo a call for comfort to try to tell those I've injured, I've hurt unjustly, I'm sorry, end poem.
Beautiful read. And would you mind reading his author's notes, please?
What I took from the quote was, when you breathe lightning, you're wanting to strike pain into others with words. Not sure if that's what it meant, but that's where my mind.
Great read. Thank you. And yeah, that was a stunning poem on the topic. I thought he really captured the essence of breathing lightning. I would say that too. That when you're breathing lightning, you're striking out and lashing at those who are around you and can hear you, and making them feel the pain that you feel. So that was a haunting rite. Well done, Pam. What did you think?
Yeah, this is a beautiful and emotive rite. I like Dark and Dora's take on this prompt with the whole idea of lashing out in anger. And the thing with lashing out in anger is when somebody has hurt us, is it doesn't just hurt the person that, in effect, it rarely ever hurts the person who hurt us. It usually hurts those trying to be supportive and surround us. And so I really like the imagery a flash of words wanting to embed into the muscles and weakening to strike a nerve. And then the ending with to try to tell those I've hurt unjustly, I'm sorry. Just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Beautiful comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I really like this too. You know, I agree with Pam and with you. Great take on the prompt, on the quote. I wanted others to feel my pain. Every word escaping my mouth towards others was venom, prongs from a snake's bite. And I love the way, you know, she formatted her poem. It's like as if she's a giant cobra there, recoiling at every stanza and then striking out. You know, her words are striking out and recoiling and striking out and recoiling, striking out. So wonderful formatting, wonderful, wonderfully written, and bravo, Dark and Doris.
Thank you, Naomi. Okay, so I'm going to read the next one. This is by Ralph K., and it's called From Black Elk on Dreams. Conscious and consciousness hover before our eyes and mental horns in darkest night, brightest nuclear flash of noontime day, and unafraid, we gird our loins ready to fight for rights. Banker, poo-pooed over by beer-guzzling buddy in tavern. What heated fears, frozen hopes, up to our darkened helplessness, our terrors of falling, and of us, if we cannot wake before hitting the ground. In adolescence, we damp fields of bed with wreckage of practiced love, rehearsed by virgin experts, and sexual arts. How good the taste of morn, sun's return, and poem. And, yeah, you know, I liked it. It was based on the first prompt in the contest, which was sometimes dreams are wiser than waking. So that's another take on prompt one that everybody took a little differently, and I like the way he took his, you know, especially where he says, fields of dead with records of practice, love, rehearsed by virgin experts in sexual arts, how good the taste of morn, sun's return. you know, I mean, metaphorically, that's the wettest dream that I've read in a long time, so great job on your metaphor, Ralph K. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is brilliant. It's an amazing brevity. I like how the main theme is the idea of following your dreams and fighting for your freedom, no matter what anyone else says or thinks. I really like the lines, we gird our loins ready to fight for rights, promised by politician, priest, investment banker, pooh-poohed by beer-guzzling buddy in tavern. And, you know, just amazing all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, this is very powerful. You know, dreams do take us to unlimited possibilities where you're unafraid, where you surmount your fears, you know, to go further, to do things that you wouldn't do when you're awake, you know, so just to explore, you know, unforbidden ground that, well, ground that you unforbid yourself to go there, I guess. So amazing right here, and very well written.
Excellent comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, Pam, you're up next to read, please. Thank you.
All right. Dreams by Robert Edgar. And it goes like this. When I walk in my dreams, I can shoot lightning, have a voice of thunder, move with the clouds across prairies, whisper in the grass, speak the language of grasshoppers, hunt with the lion in the hills, chase rabbits as a coyote, raid cornfields while flapping black feathers. I am spirit, dreamwalker. Rise up and fly to spot truth, which often hides in mud, swim with otters, can go anywhere, be young when old, old when young. Dreams are power. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Pam. And I liked it. You know, I liked the way he captures the essence of being able to be a spirit walker in your dreams and transport yourself into all these different beings, you know, chasing rabbits with the coyote, hunting with the lion in the hills, raiding cornfields while flapping black feathers. And that's all excellent imagery and fantastic, palpable, dreamful emotions. So excellent right, Robert, and fantastic read, Pam. What did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, I loved how he intermingled, you know, such vivid imagery of nature and animals and, you know, throughout this poem, you know, he talks about the prairies, the clouds, you know, the whispers in the grass, the language of the grasshoppers. And, you know, and he goes into so many, you know, different animals that he could be. And, you know, he evokes the possibility of being all these things in a dream where he couldn't be while awake. So, you know, just a wonderful write to that quote, and so well done. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And Pam, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Yeah, this is a wonderful write all the way through. It really is a powerful look at being a dream walker. My favorite lines are, I am spirit, dream walker, rise up and fly to spot truth, But one of the things I really like about this rite is he didn't limit himself to what would be considered powerful animals. You know, he covered all sorts of animals, from grasshoppers to lions to crows, and saw within each one of them a purpose that and a reason to be able to see through their eyes. So excellent rite and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. All right, I'm going to post the next poem here. This is by Eric Svensson near the SoundCloud. Okay, the poem is posted, and I will play the SoundCloud.
Dream catches. West, north, east, south, sky power, earth power. With spider acumen, we stream our webs, send our gossamer energy strands from our solar plexus outwards. Patiently, we weave intricate dream catches, whereupon we welcome fellow life artists. Kin that chooses to co-create with red road light curves rather than furious fermented black road egos. Valiant moths we candle flame drawn to the creative fire furnace within. Since we've been crusader sent from great sky spirit into flesh, we've learned to heed thoughts, words, and deeds. Within stretched eagle wing feather tip finesse, we reconnoiter our durable energy web strands. Ferocious red road intent deflects black road energetics, wishing to trample trash, disconnect our dream catcher life. Strands. White geese we flock, climb higher on warm hearted thermals, honk hallelujahs as we circle the flower bearing wool tree. Four blue, four white, four scarlet, four yellow, like minded dream catchers constructed, free and fair. Trade of reciprocal energy, the pivotal well point. May we stay with black elk. We saw more than we can tell, and we understood more than we saw. Survive, thrive, evolve. We saw the sky fill with dancing horses. Survive, thrive, evolve. Black, white, sorrel bay, and buckskin dancing horses. Survive, thrive, evolve.
Well, beautiful read on that poem. And I like the poem. You know, he really gets into the power of dreams and, you know, the ability to protect each other from badness inside of these dreams. And, you know, I liked where he said, valiant moths were candle flame drawn to the creative fire furnace within. Since we've been crusaders sent from great sky spirit into flesh, we've learned to heed thoughts, words, and deeds. You know, that's, I think, an essence of being a human being is being able to understand your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, and be able to act accordingly in the world with those. So a powerful rite, a very spiritual rite, and very well done. Excellent rite, excellent read, Eric. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yes, as always, Eric does a very impressive read and rite. This is powerful. It is spiritual. I like how, to me, the main theme is the idea of being adventurous in our dreams. and following new roads. I really like that he brings in the horses and the white geese. You know, I thought the horses mentioned at the end was a wonderful representation. And I also like how he opens up with the four directions and the sky power and the earth power. You know, I thought that really set the tone for the entire rite. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, both you and Pam are amazing comments, you know, that I agree with open-heartedly. But, you know, I really like, you know, how he also reaches out to the artists, you know, like all the poets. Patiently we weave intricate dream catchers, whereupon we welcome fellow life artists, kin that chooses to co-create with red road light codes rather than furious fermented black road egos. I really like that, you know, that we write for, you know, just not because of our egos, but, you know, we write for the pleasure to create. And, you know, and I also like that he, like Pam said, you know, he talked about the horses and the black elk and also the geese in here, and you know, those elements of nature, and very well done as always, Eric. Stunning write, you know, on very well written to the prompt in a unique creative way, so well developed. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And I'd like to welcome Liu Wildbug to the show. Hello, Liu.
Hello, everybody. Happy birthday, Gray.
Yeah,
hey,
thank you.
Hi, Pam. Hey, Naomi. I don't know who else is on. Is it just us four tonight?
It is four.
Yeah. Okay, four is good.
Did you get a chance to hear Eric's poem?
No, but I did read and comment on it. I said that you weave such spiritual beauty with how the threads of the dream catcher moves, used into the dreams of such a magnitude of beauty with the life that exists. And I'm sorry, my cat's sitting on my mint. I really don't want to have his butt on my mint. Sorry about that. With the life that exists and how we move into this dream state for ourselves and at the time with nature's creation. And then I really love several stanzas, but the one that I put down was Valiant Moth, where candle flames drawn to the creative fire furnace within. Since we've been crusaders from the great sky spirit into flesh, we've learned to heed thoughts, words, and deeds. And, you know, I thought that was just not only spiritual, but such a wonderful thing to give credit to the great spirit, you know, and how we are as humans can love what we have and to remember the things that we were gifted by the great spirit. And, you know, and if you watch nature and if you heed what the great spirit wants, you know, we learn his thoughts, his words and deeds, and we learn, you know, like, basically, we're supposed to care for the earth and the animals and each other, and hopefully one day that will actually happen. And
yeah, absolutely. Beautiful comment, Liu, and welcome to the show. I'm going to put you to work right away, Liu, if you don't mind.
Okay. Oh, do you want me to read Pee-wee's poem?
Yes, please.
Okay. You didn't say so. Okay. Here we go. Oh, this was such a fantastic poem. The Future by Pee-wee Cousins. Waking nightmares of our demise, ships hovering in a mechanical skies, world we've known all bent and bruised, lightning in and through. Everything that's left of our world of man, speak in tongues. I don't understand. Retreat to dreams from all the quaking. Sometimes dreams wiser than waking. If you're living in a utarian utopia, feared Big Brother, then he broke you. But that was then and years ago. Now they've taken over your soul to analyze and victimize, to decide what lies they're going to want to upload in eyes. Run away, then congregate another day. Amalgamate me and hear what I say. It's the only place we've left to go, only place they don't have control. Please, now humanity, come with me. Let us slip away into our dream. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lou. And I really liked it. You know, it really takes you through a walk through our daily lives and, you know, this ships hovering in mechanical skies, world we known, all bent and bruised, skies breathe lightning in and through, everything that's left of the world of man. Speak in tongues, I don't understand, retreat to dreams from all the quaking. Sometimes dreams are wiser than waking. And, you know, I like that in the last stanza he says, it's the only place we've left to go, only place they don't have control. Please now, humanity, come with me. Let us slip away into our dreams. Fantastic, right, Elian? Very, very talented. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was an absolutely amazing write. I really like how hard-hitting and raw and gritty his imagery is. It's thought-provoking. It's a story write, and yet there's such a harsh piece of reality to it, and the idea of having to escape into our dreams because of the fact that there are those who will try to manipulate and control your life. So excellent write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked when, you know, he opens up with that first stanza, waking nightmares of our demise, ships hovering in mechanical skies, world we known, all bent and bruised, skies, breath, lightning in and through. You know, it, just amazing, right, about, you know, how, yeah, it's so true. You know, we don't have any privacy anymore in this world, you know, and we miss that little quiet split pace, private split space, you know, our little piece of the own, of oneself in this giant world of technology and like you said, you know, in that metaphor, mechanical skies. You know, just to find that in our dreams as we slip away, just find ourselves alone with ourselves is it so important, and it keeps a little piece of our humanity, like he says. So great write, really amazing, powerful write, very thought-provoking, and amazingly well-written. Bravo, Pee-wee.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed everybody's comments. You know, I really was surprised with this poem. Pee-wee's been, I don't know, lately his poems have been so amazingly wonderful that you can read it and feel and get involved in the message or what he's trying to say. You know, everybody's right. You know, the world is so different from the, let's just say, the early 1900s, the 1800s, before manufacturing just came in, and you know the world of man, to just destroy everything in its path. They don't care if it makes you sick. Even now, there's lawsuits like up where Pam lives, where they knew that the water was contaminated and children were bathing in it and drinking the water and all the cancers that came out. You know, it's horrifying to think how everything is so electronic. Everything, nothing is private anymore. We're all on the web net of horror. And, you know, he talks about, you know, how they victimized and analyzed, you know, they didn't care, like with fracking, how it's causing earthquakes and you're just using, we're running out of drinking water and they're just pumping this water into all these places, you know, and this made me, I had so many different thoughts with each stanza that I was reading, but finally, you know, I told them that his poem built up to an amazing last stanza that is powerful. It says, you know, I connect, we connect in this sacred place where no one can enter, where our dreams are answered here or later. The world has lost its ability for privacy and respect of the earth, life, and humanity, unfortunately blind to what keeps us alive. And, you know, we have no place to go. Now, where are we going to go? Some planet that they think is a gazillion miles away and, you know, we're going to be skeletons before we get there. And, you know, and he said it, and I really liked that last stanza. It's the only place our dream, we're left to go, only place that they don't have control. Please now, humanity, come with me. Let us slip away into our dream. You know, and that's where our ancestors are, and we're not listening to our ancestors anymore. We're just listening to the money bags that are controlling everything, regardless of the pain and suffering and destruction it's causing to our environment.
Absolutely.
Sorry for the long, sorry for the long response, but that was one good poem.
Yeah,
now, I think it's always an awesome thing when a poem gets you to stand on your soapbox and go on a rant because it says the power behind the poem.
Are you trying to tell me I'm ranting? Well, I am.
We all need to have our things that we feel passionate about.
Yeah, so. I agree. And with this contest, you exactly did that because I didn't get to read all of them, but I read half of them. And how can you not have a powerful response to the way the poet finds one quote and just expresses himself? Just excellent, excellent contest, Sam. I cannot thank you enough. What a wonderful contest.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Okay, Naomi, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Okay. Dreaming by Ernest. Each person has some dreams and wishes that he is expecting that will change his life, will make it nicer, better, and will bring the satisfaction that one could await. He is the one that better knows what's best for him, because he knows what he would need, what makes him happy and what makes him feel the reason why he's living and exists. And all his thoughts and options are towards these sweet desires that are meant for him and which he wants to follow in his life, to find the comfort and delight he needs. And then he's waking up and looks around to see the people that are next to him, with whom he shares his life, and also are the reason why he made his choice of life. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I liked it. You know, I liked his take on the prompt. You know, he speaks to the individuality of dreams and the paths that we choose. And, you know, and the final stanza. And then when he's waking up and looks around to see the people that are next to him with whom he shares his life and also are the reasons why he made this choice in life. You know, a wonderful poem on the subject of dreams and the power of that role in our lives. And, you know, I thought it was a fascinating take on the prompt. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating and it's thought-provoking, especially with that end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like how it speaks on the idea of the importance of knowing your own heart, your own dreams, and realizing that's part of what makes you the individual that you are. Then the idea of waking up surrounded by those people who share your life. And, you know, I get a positive feeling about that, and that, you know, from the way he writes it. But I also think sometimes that can be a representation of the idea of sacrifices made, or, the idea of making sacrifices and putting aside our dreams so we can take care of those that we love. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Beautiful comment. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Very. And, you know, another interesting take on the prompt, that quote, sometimes dreams are wiser than waking. He talks about, you know, how others influence our life, that sometimes our needs, our real needs and our desires are twisted, you know, and are put aside for the greater good or the greater needs of others around us. And that, you know, when you dream, you can be who you are, you can do what you want, you can go where you want, you can be whatever you want, you know, and without that exterior influence that comes from all around you. So great right, and a great angle that he chose to attack that prompt. So bravo.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I thought that Naomi did a fantastic job in reading the poem. I really loved the personification of, you know, how he expressed himself in this quote. And that's what I like when somebody gets a quote like Pam Varsa, and it just causes them, that pen just to spill. So I told him our dreams can be so difficult from reality, since people influence those decisions and move us on a different path. But there is the longings and the dream state that reminds us of who we are and how life can change those paths. I deeply enjoyed your poem in the stanza. He points out that in his dreams he has his desires, and what, you know, he says, and all his thoughts and options are toward these sweet desires that are meant for him, in which he wants to follow in his life to find the comfort and delight he needs. You know, regardless if life, you know what you want in life. You know what you want in your dream. You know, he's saying his thoughts and desires that he wants to follow a different path, and a little maybe different from what he's leading, to find comfort and delight. That is what he's searching for in his life, and that's what he wants. But then he wakes up and there's a different light, the life that he's led with the people and that he's involved in and that he shares his life with, and, you know, that he chooses to take care of them, even though it may be different than what he wants or what he still needs. This just like everybody says, awesome. Awesome thoughts, fantastic poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Leah. Okay, I've got the next poem. This is by Betty Page, and it's called Hypnotic Dreams. Hypnotic Dreams. I live just to dream, soothed by sleep so hypnotic, luscious wonderland, erotic daydreams, enchanting me oh so high, sliding down rainbows, splashing down clear pools, crisp waterfalls cascading, exploring castles, secret rose gardens, where all kings and queens play chess, dancing on checkers, dipping up madness, caressing soft, subtle flesh, sleeping in poppies. I live just to dream, soothed by sleep so hypnotic, luscious wonderland, erotic daydreams enchanting me, oh so high, sliding down rainbows, splashing down clear ponds, crisp waterfalls cascading, exploring castles, end poem. And
wow,
I liked it. I liked it a lot. You know, it speaks to the escape that we get when we dream. You know, you can escape the reality and, you know, live just a dream, soothed by sleep so hypnotic, luscious wonderland, erotic daydreams enchanting me, oh so high, sliding down rainbows. And I just thought it was a fantastic poem on the subject of the prom. So beautifully written. Betty Page. Naomi, thank you. I mean, Sam, what did you think?
This is beautiful. It has wonderful imagery and metaphors. As always, I enjoy and appreciate Betty's 575 lines, her senrus that she writes. I like the Alice in Wonderland vibe in this, and I like how it has that touch of sensuality. And that really speaks of the eroticism and the magic of dreams. I especially like splashing down clear pools, crisp waterfalls cascading, exploring castles, secret rose gardens where all kings and queens play chess, sing on checkers. Those are just, that is smile-inducing imagery for sure. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Deb. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Betty Page just transported me right to a fantasy land.
Uh-huh.
Erotic dreams. Yeah, it was so funny because I was talking about these kind of dreams the other night on a show. And you know how you wake up in the middle of the good part of it. You always seem to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sipping up madness, caressing soft, subtle flesh, sleeping in poppies. I live just to dream, soothed by sleep, so hypnotic, luscious wonderland. You know, it's so soft and it's so enchanting and delightful all the way through. And like Pam said, it's also so sensual. And, you know, just a beautiful write by Betty Page.
Thank you, Naomi. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, I just thought this was just fantastic, you know, because sometimes the lives we are leading are not what we really want in life, you know, or there's things that we are missing in our lives. And I thought she brought that out wonderfully. You know, that sometimes you go to sleep to not dream about the life you're living right now. And in your dreams, you can escape and say what you want, be what you want, go where you want, like sliding down rainbows, dropping into the secret rose gardens where the kings and queens, like Pam brought up, play chess, dancing on checkers. That just made me smile. And then, you know, where she says, sipping up madness, caressing soft, subtle flesh, sleeping in poppies. You know, you can just, you know, just see that imagery of her going to where she wants to be and to be hypnotized and to experience all this fantastic stuff, even though she says here it's fantasy, love, music, psychedelic, explicit. And, you know, I wish I could walk and join the rainbow with her.
Yeah.
I love this film. This is fantastic.
Thank you, Lee. Great comments. Okay, Pam, I've got your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. This is The Sacred Earth. Bare feet walking prayers across Mother Earth where knowledge is planted, blooming from the burial, reaching towards the sky. Ancient spirits speak from all around, singing to the heart, connecting the soul to the wolf and the bear. The red blood flows together, lightning racing in the wind. sage and flame becomes the cleansing to dream turquoise where eagles soar. There are no limitations when we are called to a higher purpose, when we connect to the sacredness of fallen seeds, forever becoming one with all. End poem.
Well, beautiful,
beautiful
read,
Pam.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it really speaks a prayer as you walk upon the earth. And, you know, I thought you captured that whole prompt quite beautifully. And, you know, sage and flame becomes the cleansing to dream turquoise where eagles soar. There are no limitations when we are called to a higher purpose, when we connect to the sacredness of fallen seeds, forever becoming one with all. That's just beautiful, Pam.
Thank
Very
you.
Impactful. Excellent flow to it. It has beautiful rhythm. And I really liked it. Great read as well, Pam. And Naomi, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, this was a superb write, Pam, you know, the sacred earth. I just love the part, where is it? You know, where the red blood flows together, lightning racing in the wind, and then to dream turquoise where eagles soar. But also, you know, the ending when we connect to the sacredness of fallen seeds, forever becoming one with all. You know, when we, that those fallen seeds, you know, that the great spirit delivers, or nature delivers, or Mother Earth, or, you know, those fallen seeds that are there and that we all eat from, and that they all connect us as one. You know, you said forever becoming one with all. And it's so true. You know, we have to stop being so individualistic and start seeing ourselves as a whole, and seeing the and respecting the earth that we walk upon, and coming together to protect it and to treat it as it should, and to, you know, protect the sacred earth. So just so well written. You know, Pam, this is superb.
Thank you.
And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought Pam did a beautiful tribute to Black Elk. When you walk upon sacred earth, treat each step as a prayer. And, you know, and this is something that has been forgotten. Now we see the world trying to make laws and pass laws to protect what's left, because that's basically what it's coming down to, what is left. And, you know, this is such a beautiful tribute to him, you know, where especially your first stanza where you open this up, bare feet walking prayers across Mother Earth where knowledge is planted. You know, there is so much knowledge. The earth is a healing, you know, tying in with what Naomi said, is a healing process if we allow it to heal us, plants, the trees, you know, the ancient spirits that speak, that remind us that we need to care for each other, we need to care for the earth, we need to care for these creatures. And, you know, and in some ways when we walk the earth, or, you know, you're walking in the woods or you're in a beautiful area, you know, that sage and flame where she says it becomes a cleansing through a dream turquoise or eagle soar. You know, you feel that. You just literally can open up your arms and, you know, move with nature, move with the creatures, move with the rabbits that are running across, the squirrels, the hawks, the eagles. And, you know, you're right. There are no limitations. We put those limitations. And, the, you know, the limitations are unfortunately to do as much damage for as much money as you can. But, you know, there are so, this reminded me of so many movies where in the future, money doesn't matter, gold doesn't matter, diamonds don't matter. But what matters is the earth that can produce more products, seeds like Naomi brought out, and for clean water. And we're running out of everything. And, you know, we cannot become one unless we become one with all. And I thought that she ended that beautifully. Beautiful, powerful poem, and what a gorgeous tribute to Black Elk Dam.
Thank you so much, and absolutely, I agree with everything all of you said.
Yeah, I agree too. Beautiful job, Pam. Okay, Naomi, I have your poem up if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Oh, boy. Okay. So I read all these quotes, and everything got jumbled up in my head. So I started writing to one and then to another and then to another. Wow. And anyway, I just came out. I'm not talking.
You didn't want one cookie. You wanted the bag.
I know, but they just sort of all float together. So I'm not talking about me. Who can believe that his life is really of any interest to others? I'm talking about other lives, of a life other than mine, a life that does not belong to me, a life that gives me the illusion of passing through the one I live. I speak of you, of a life that makes me stop eating and drinking. I'm talking about a life where complaint and joy have no place, no place in the magnetic storms. I'm talking about the tree in the alley, not of the ash tree that is cut and recut, but the ash tree that grows and grows again and never curses to green up, that grows in a thin soil, that lives on dirty water and ultraviolet light. I tell you about what I don't know. I tell you about what unmasks me. I tell you that it lights up and goes out in me, but it is not me. It is not only beauty and injustice, the rats and the hummingbirds, the magnolia in the middle of the desert, the blessed machine gun, the manure where what we eat flourishes, the stupidified intelligence, the heart that goes off the rails in a sublime spirit. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the what is out of the good and out of the evil. I'm talking about what is out of judgment. I'm telling you that the glass is empty and the ocean is full. I tell you about a life that existence does not see, that sometimes dreamers are wiser than those awakened. I speak of you what I do not live, and I lose you because I speak to you. And poem.
Well, that was a hard-hitting poem. I really like the layers and the depth of your poem. You know, I'm not talking about me. Who can believe that this life is really of any interest to others? And then I am talking about other lives, of a life other than mine, a life that does not belong to me, a life that gives me the illusion of passing through the one I have. I mean, that's just deep and powerful. And then, you know, where you close it out with, I speak to you of what I do not live and lose you because I speak to you. And that's just a haunting and powerful ending. Beautifully written and excellent read, Naomi. Great job. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, first of all, I really like, Naomi, that you were inspired by all the prompts. And you combine them together so nicely, very seamless. This has a wonderful energy to it. I like how, to me, it kind of speaks in the idea that oftentimes life becomes out of balance. You know, I like the first person narrative. You know, I like how you're speaking to one person, and yet at the same time, you're speaking to many people. I was particularly drawn to the stanza that says, I tell you about what I don't know. I tell you about what unmasks me. I tell you that it lights up and goes out of me, but it is not me. It is not only beauty and justice. You know, the wonderful imagery and metaphors there, and such a powerful way to wrap the poem up. I speak to you of what I do not live, and I lose you because I speak to you. And I also, those lines remind us that if we are going to talk to people, we need to in some way understand their experience. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Beautiful moment. Yeah. And Lee, what did you think? Hello, Lee. Let me check if she's dropped. Yep, she has. Call back, Lee. So, Naomi, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Oh, no. Thank you very much for all your comments. I just tried to, you know, like Pam, I think Pam summed it up pretty good. You know, the good, talking about what is out of the good and out of the evil, but out of judgment, you can't really talk to other people if you don't know what they're going through and what they're living. And, you know, I also tried to put in, parts of, the earth and what's happening in the world, the light and the dark, the beauty, the ugliness, the injustice. So everything got wrapped up, I think, and, into a jumbled up piece and just flew out. So, yeah, that's what basically what happened. So thank you very much.
Well, it was beautifully done. And Lee, what did you think of Naomi's poem?
I thought this was fantastic. I love how you say you're not talking about yourself, but in some ways when you talk about yourself, you share your opinions and it awakens or it is in agreement with what you're saying, you know, because sometimes we don't think about it, but not only is there is a lot of injustice because a lot of people do not want to listen to wisdom. They don't want to apply wisdom to me, which makes things so difficult for everybody, especially those who are trying to live a simple, decent life, you know. And the earth is trying to survive us. And you brought up so many fantastic images here that, you know, not only when I heard you reading it caused me pain. I didn't want to cry. You know that we have to watch a magnolia grow in the middle of a desert where, you know, it's just that simple image of how much destruction is being done and how much the earth is trying to survive while we're choking her. And that really touched me very much, you know, with you blending all the different quotes that Pam found. And there is so much, there's a lot of evil and the good is trying to balance that out. And, you know, like you said, I tell you about life, that existence does not see that sometimes dreamers are wiser than those awake. And that is so true. And it is when we speak out that hopefully somebody's heart is touched so that they understand all these different poems that, you know, these quotes that our ancestors give to try to teach the next generation. And for some reason, the next generation does not want to listen, but maybe someone will.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
I didn't want to make you cry.
Well, I wasn't expecting to cry, but it you know, it did touch me. It touched me deeply.
Thank you.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. All right, I'm going to post the next poem. If you wouldn't mind reading this, please, Lee.
Oh, my goodness, my nose has stuffed up. Okay. Like a Fire-Breathing Dragon by Julie Buck. Like a stubborn little girl holding her breath, I attempt to reach you. Like a fire-breathing dragon, I spew heat, and still it's cold in here. Like a woman who knows her onions but forget about her apples, I want to shake my tree and have you bite into me. Finally, when I do exhale, what a rescued relief to irrevocably have you adhere, to know you do not see me as unleashing hell, but as simply a sad girl who at times rebel in poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And I liked it, you know. She takes this fire-breathing dragon and, you know, turns her into a little girl who's sad and sometimes rebels. That's just heartfelt and engaging right there. Beautifully written. An excellent read, Lee. Pam, what did you think?
This is a wonderful take on the prompt. It is a beautiful and heartfelt write, and I like how it speaks on the idea that oftentimes behind that fire-breathing dragon, behind that anger, is really a sad little girl. And it is wonderful all the way through, but I did particularly like a woman who knows her onions but forgot about her apples. I want to shake my tree and have you bite into me. And the end lines, me is unleashing hell but is simply a sad, sad girl who at times rebels. Powerful lines and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, you know, this is amazing. You know, so many times, you know, when I was a teacher, I'd have these kids that would lash out, you know, and, you know, if you just sat down and talked to them, but really talked with them, or I shouldn't say talk, I should say rather listen to them, because when you listen to them, you get to know, you know, what's going on in their life, what's happening. Maybe their parents are going through a divorce. Maybe, you know, I don't know, something else is going on in the home that you didn't know. And, you know, it's so important. Before talking, you have to listen. And, you know, I think Julie Buck brings up a very powerful, thought-provoking message in this here. That, you know, that sometimes you're just a sad, sad little girl and you want to reach out, but the only way you know how is by lashing out. And so brilliantly well written, and bravo, Julie Buck.
Thank you, Naomi. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
You know, I really like the imagery that she has in here, and I really enjoyed everybody's poem, you know. you know, all of us, even as adults, we have that child, like, that is inside of us that we protect. And you ignore somebody when somebody is not listened to, like Naomi was bringing up, whether it's a child or whether it's an adult, because even as adults, we can act as children. You know, we have to be honest here. And, you know, when we feel like we're not being listened to, especially if it's something that's childlike, that's inside of us that we're trying to express, and that person doesn't listen, you know, it is a reaction to lash out in some ways, that be that breathing draw again, that stroke of lightning. And, you know, to, like she says here, I want to shake my tree and have you bite into me, you know, to wanting that attention and, you know, just wanting them to listen, he says, to have you adhere, you know, you're not listening to me, you know, and when you don't listen, it says you unleash the hell. And that simply, you know, that sadness that you feel as an adult and feel as a betrayal, that child that's inside of you, that child eventually rebels, whether they rebel with a lightning strike and just walk off, or they rebel, you know, you just have to lash out, hopefully, you know, when there's no other, sometimes you have to get angry to tell somebody to get them to understand what you're saying. And that's that strike of lightning.
Beautiful comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. This is by Dammit Dave, and it's called Anger's Storm. I feel the columnus clouds forming as anger begins to roil in charcoal sky of my mind. But there is a calm before the storm, where thoughts are tossed upon the wind, gaining power in the vortex of exasperation. And then the torrent of curses falls like acid rain as my words become the indignant sound of thunder. My breath transforms to violent bolts of light streaking across the landscape towards the object of my animosity. And the tempest rages on as hailstones of outrage pelt my foe with fury. And the tantrum screams in cyclonic winds until nothing remains but a sinister silence and the aftermath of irreversible damage done. End poem. I liked it. You know, it's another somebody who sees somebody who breathes lightning as breathing their anger and their pain towards others. And I thought he captured that quite wonderfully, where he says, and the tempest rages on and the hailstones of outrage pelt my foe with fury and the tantrum screams in cyclonic winds. Yeah, just a powerful poem, damn it, Dave. Excellent, right? And fantastic to read it. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is powerful imagery and metaphors. It is an amazing write on the whole idea of the damage done when we lash out in anger. And I really like that he chose to use the word irreversible, you know, until nothing remains but sinister silence in the aftermath of irreversible damage done. Because oftentimes, you know, especially if we break trust or we break somebody's feelings, we hurt somebody's feelings, we can apologize all we want. And there might be a slight healing, but things will never go back to the way they were. And so just amazing lines all the way through. Another thing I really like is, and then a torrent of curses falls like acid rain as my words become the indignant sound of thunder. Beautifully written and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Well, I had to look up that type of cloud, and it is the type of cloud that forms before a storm. So the storm, you know, comes from that type of cloud. So that's an interesting fact I found. I probably won't remember that long word, but anyway, that's the type of cloud that forms the storms. But I really like the build-up in this, you know, in this whole write. He really captures the stages of the anger, you know, when it's forming inside, in your mind, and then there's a calm, your thoughts are tossed upon the wind, you know, wonderful wonderful metaphors in here. And then, you know, the torrent of curses fall like acid rains. My breath transforms to violent bolts of lightning streaking across the landscape. And then, you know, the tempest rages on, the tantrum screams and cyclonic winds. So I really like, you know, his use of nature in this. And then, of course, after, you know, after the crisis, of course, there's damage. And, you know, after the storm, there's the rubbish and, you know, all the damage that it's done. So great, great poem by Dammit Dave. Well laid out and so well written. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. Beautiful comments. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really love this poem by Dave because, you know, a storm, anger storm, and this is like any storm, takes time to build. So whatever the situation that's happening, it's not just something, you know, of course some things just blow up at once, but this storm has been building. You know, the storms start forming in anger, and then, you know, you're getting anger, and of course your thoughts race where, you know, I need to say this, I need to say that, and I need to do this, and I need to do that, and they need to know this, and they need to know that. And, you know, and of course it just makes the storm go stronger. And like, you know, he talks about, you know, the turn of curses, you know, because now you're getting mad because, you know, before you have to talk to somebody and you're really pissed at them, you're already pissed as it is. So you're pissed before you even talk to them. And I thought he brought that up because I could just see hear the thunder, and I can see the lightning build, you know, building up, and then the tempest rages. And then, you know, these storms, they are uncontrollable. Nobody can control them, and sometimes we cannot control them in ourselves. And then, like, you know, Naomi and Pam brought it, it causes all this damage. You're screaming, and you're really letting them have it. And then you sit there after a F5 tornado goes by or a hurricane, and then you just look at you can't take it back, the damage you've done. And, you know, and in some ways it can't be repaired, and then other ways it's a slow building repair, just like any disaster. Excellent poem, Dave, and good read, Gray.
Thank you. And Pam, would you mind reading the next one, please?
I would be happy to. Morality Police for Peace by Way Down Upon Joy. Do not become sight blinded to freedom's guiding light. Morality needs kindness and not unmindful sight. The right of wrong belongs to us, each person to decide, and laws that cover principles share errors magnified. If gay or straight is managed by laws that take control, or if life choice is voted on, then what was freedom's goal? Imposed restraints on liberty, an oxymoronic thought, and yet we watch as others rule what ear they think they ought. Police used violence to ensure religious laws are met, and as we shake our heads in shame, we miss our own upset. Manipulation is disguised by courts that call it fair, and laws that state what we can do should make us think beware. Some point their fingers round the world while right at home we see religion used as reasons for and lost our guarantee. It's mind control persuasive, dressed in devil's clothes. We're like a robotic mega minds, now left to just suppose. Suppose I told you I'm in charge of how you live and die. Would you suppose that's for the good or just accept the lie? We need to realize that we choose freedom as our goal, and now we're watching liberty descend a blackened hole. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And in their author's note, she says, to use the power of bison, I had to perform that part of my vision for the people to see. And in her own thought, yesterday we obeyed kings and bent our knees, our necks before emperors, but today we kneel only to truth, follow only beauty, and obey only love. And that's the quote by Khalil Gibran. So this is a wonderful write on the subject of, you know, to use the power of the vice, and I had to perform that part of my vision for people to see. You know, and she's living her words here. So not to become blinded to freedom is guiding light, morality needs kindness, and not unmindful sight. You know, it's so true. You know, we just kind of plod through life, you know, with no vision. And, you know, she really brings her vision to fruition here in this rite, you know. At some point, their fingers around the world, while right at home we see religion used as reasons for and lose our guarantee. It's mind control, persuasive, dressed in devil's clothes. We're like robotic mega minds now left to just suppose. I mean, those are haunting words right there. Beautifully written and so well read. Great read, Pam. And what did you think, Lee?
Well, I think this is an excellent poem where he's bringing out, you know, for us to remember that the reason that people came to the United States was to have freedom and to have freedom of religion, no matter who they were. But, you know, what's upsetting to me is, you know, that he is pointing out, you know, that a lot of the religions that came here, he says that now religion used as reasons for our loss and guarantee, it's mind control, persuasive, dressed in devil clothes. We're like robotic mega minds now left to post. We're supposed to be freedom of religion where you love, you know, love. Like he brings out that quote by Gibran, you know, that is the essence of love. And that it's, you know, the power of the bison with the visions for people to see and understand. You know, so many things are coming out in the news, how anything other than who was in that religion, and you will look at it, they were considered savages. The Indians in India are savage. The Native Americans were savage. The African Americans, that is. Even though the Aztecs were savage. You know, and it was, these civilizations were existing, and even though they existed, these savage races, they built and lived with nature. And, you know, he's reminding us that why did you leave those countries where kings and queens ruled and you had to kneel and worship them? You know, do not forget this is the reason that you came, you know, to the United States. And then I was reading his comment, said that he, that they don't like being pessimistic, but I live with my eyes wide open, and I'm noticing how we point our fingers at worldly events and fail to see the big log in our own eyes as some make laws to control our own folks, which reminds me of psychological abuse and a lack of tolerance for differences. And that's what it is. We are a melting pot, and I think people just forget that. In fact, I was watching a movie the other day, which they were looking for treasures, and, you know, somebody was complaining about all the Latin, you know, the Hispanics in the United States, and then she reminded them, and don't you know your history, that the majority of the United States was Hispanic, was Mexico until it was signed over to the United States. So I'm going to stop here because I could go on a super duper rant. Excellent poem.
Great
Nectar,
comment.
Fire
Thank
me
you.
Up.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're going to read your poem next, please. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Let me refresh. And this was an older poem, but it kind of goes a little bit with some of the quotes. And it's called Native Tears Wrap. The soul is white wolf. Damn, sometimes I feel so sad. like I'm feeling right now. Damn tears. You're asking why I'm sad. I look up in the world. Everyone's so blind. No one sees my tears. You can't see my fears. See, I miss the olden times. All there is blood and heavy crime. I'm walking a path my ancestors' lives said needed respect. But the world is hooked on money, passing them heavy bags of dimes, making the breasts of Mother Earth suffocate, making the life on her face begin to cycle down and oscillate. Dying. Life is dying because your six standards reverberate by experimenting, hiding medical tests, even against two-legged creatures, messing with Mother Nature, her pulses, her pulse decimate, chemtrails dropping chemicals as facial powder, little minds thinking you can control her power, what goes up must come down in her showers, everything is falling apart, everything is falling apart. Commercials magazine saying, take this. So now we are all getting sick or dying inside. Wake up, turning us all into willing drones. So all I can do is watch the world. Secrets being revealed that the poor are scourged. Upper class filth be apologizing. They sorry. Yeah, they sorry, filling their pockets as we slowly die. History's pages will expose the tyranny and testify. Damn, this is the beginning. Sometimes I'm so sad, like I'm feeling right now. Damn tears, can why I'm sad. I look up into the world, everyone's so blind. No one sees my tears, you can't see my fears. Everything is falling apart. Everything is falling apart. Open your mouth, take the pill, this isn't goodwill. Keep believing the swill. All life's going to be piled up on a dung kill. Damn. End poem.
Wow. Beautiful read, Lee. Would you mind reading your author's notes?
It used to be, it would be easy to use foul language. I want to. But then that won't show respect to my elder. Life is dying. Even in our century, the world has exterminated several species. Due to the global warming, it's even affecting the birds that are evolving smaller, getting sicker. We have nowhere to go. Think, where are our future children going to live if we let our home be destroyed by greed? Where?
Well, so many truths in that, right? And you know, I like it. You really spoke to the voice of your elders in this, right? Damn, sometimes I'm so mad, like I'm feeling right now. Damn tears, you're asking why I'm sad. I look up into the world, everyone is so blind. No one sees my tears. You can't see my fears, you know? And then you go into, you know, how the world is falling apart by money and passing them heavy bags of dimes, making the breasts of Mother Earth suffocate, making the life on her face begin to cycle down and oscillate. Life is dying. Life is dying because your sick standards reverberate by experimenting, hiding medical tests, used against two-legged creatures, messing with Mother Nature, her pulses decimate, chemtrails dropping chemicals as facial powder, little minds thinking you control her power. What goes up must come down in her shower. Everything is falling apart, everything. Wow. I've never read this poem, Lee. It's quite beautiful and a very proud statement. And, you know, it's palpable. You can feel your angst and your anger in this, right? And, you know, you carry a wonderful message in this, right? Open your eyes, world, open your eyes, because we're going down. We're going down. What did you think, Pam?
This is definitely a powerful write, and it's so perfect for tonight's theme. It fits in perfectly. I loved hearing the emotion in which you read this, that you could just hear the depth of emotion and feeling in your reading. There's so many truths in this, and the idea of how throughout history, there have been people treated like they were not people, as if they could be tested on and experimented on. And, you know, and how the way we treat Mother Earth and the way we treat each other through this horrible and difficult history of hate and destruction. I really like chemtrails, dropping chemicals as facial powder, little minds thinking you can control her power. And that is a really a strong line, because, you know, like these future generations of children, of our daughters, think their life, their mind is controlled. I also really like commercials, magazines saying, take this, so now we are all getting sicker, dying inside. Wake up, turning us all into willing drones. That is a sad truth right there, and it definitely needs to stop. So very well done, Lou.
Great. Thank you, Ben.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. Okay, so I'm going to post the next one here. This is by Time Teller. And it is called Down There and Up Here. Fearing to tread on the cracks, or upon any ground for that matter, unquenchable, sustainability of principle, pioneering its way to profiteering under reflections of moonlight. No! Don't step, you might tread on something. Living mass is a devilish thing, deceptive and deluded, for at heart is all is equal. The dimensions of a crystal are the lungs of an earthworm, so to speak. Size is a test and becomes an occupational hazard when conquering frontiers and borders. Why the cracks? Why not stand to them? We are too small, and will plummet surely to our inevitability. And I liked it. You know, it was very descriptive. And I liked the, you know, as of below, so above effect of the poem. And I really liked the dimension of a crystal or the lungs of an earthworm, so to speak, sizes a test and becomes an occupational hazard when conquering frontiers and borders. And that was an impactful life. Beautifully written, Time Teller. And are you back, Leah?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to make a comment on the poem?
Yeah, you did a great job in reading Time Teller. He's such a fantastic poet. You know, he talks about, you know, we're just looking at certain areas of Earth that are so dried up with no water. The soil has been blown away. Nothing can grow there. And everything is just cracked, you know. And usually a lot of this is done from the principle of pioneering its way by profiteering. You know, you may try to do things under the reflections of moonlight, you know, hide what you're doing, but what you're doing to the earth can't be hidden, because she will show the scars that you cut upon her face. And so I really enjoyed this, you know, where he talks about deceptive and deluded, you know, the hearts and, you know, the dimensions of the lungs that, you know, of an earthworm, you know, just the simple things that we need on earth to grow our very own food. And, you know, we need earth for food. We need earthworms and bees and butterflies. And we need rain. And we need, which is, you know, the earth is getting hotter and it's not raining as much. The rivers and canals are showing are just drying up, you know, exposing what was there before, dinosaur footprint. You know, so these cracks, they will be, are in the, inevitably the destruction of our own selves and our own lives by not giving Mother Earth the sacred, just simple basic things we need as a species to survive.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lou. Thank you. Welcome back, Pam. Mm-hmm.
Good to be back.
Welcome back.
Did you get a chance to hear Time to Work Home?
Well, I didn't get to hear it, but I read it earlier, and I thought it was a powerful and thought-provoking write on the idea of how we are destroying the earth. This had strong imagery and metaphors. I really like how he drew out the word no to make it a scream, because sometimes in order to be heard, you really do have to scream. You know, you have mm-hmm. to stand up and shout. I really like the dimensions of a crystal, the lungs of an earthworm, so to speak, size of the test, and becomes an occupational hazard when conquering frontiers and borders. And then the imagery of the idea of falling through those cracks of eventually, as Lou was pointing out, of destroying ourselves. So beautifully written and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by S. Sharp, and he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play this.
Under the noonday sun, the many faces of the cliff that I, my culture, jump off of. A buffalo herd driven off the edge. Our world turned over, roots of existence exposed to the noonday sun. My people's walk on this earth, each step a prayer. Grandfather, Great Spirit, once more behold me on earth and lean forward to hear my feeble voice. Grasshoppers, soldiers, descend into camp, vision, invasion. Harsh winds blow the smoke of the fire sideways. Unintentional smoke signals warn of humanity's drought. Peace and famine, starving the circle, the hoop of life broken. That which I have shared, which you shared with the people, the animals, the trees and the seas, the wind and the sky, has been taken from us, and I have nothing left to give this world.
Wow, that was a beautiful read. And I really liked it, you know. The power in his words is palpable. I mean, you know, you can feel the strength in his voice, and, you know, and I have nothing left to give this world because it's all been taken, you know, and it's all been pissed away in the throes of progression. And I just thought it was a powerful, powerful poem. Very well done, Scott. Pam, what did you think?
This is definitely a brilliant and powerful poem. I love how it is almost like a tribute to Black Elk and his words and his life and the messages passed along. I really like grasshoppers, soldiers descend into camp, vision, invasion. Harsh winds blow the smoke of the fire sideways. The idea of how all of life is connected, and through acts of violence and greed, that connection is broken. So powerful, right, and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Lou, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was written passionately and powerful. I agree with Pam. His recording was just fantastic. You could hear it in his voice and in the inflection. You know, this is just part of history. How did you destroy the Native Americans? You killed what they ate and what they followed, and the path they would always move, where the food was and where the animals would move to. And how did they prevent them from doing that? How did you do that? By killing all the animals that they use not only to eat with, but they lived with them and survived life with them. And they learned by watching these animals how to live in the environment. And the Indians incorporated this. So they started killing the beaver. They started killing the wolves. They started killing the rabbits. You know, we're started, you know, not hunting for food to bring home, hunting of enjoyment to kill and to also to destroy the lifestyle of whatever nation lived there. And, you know, and here it is, you know, you don't have to be Native American to understand these words, to have the heart of a Native American to live these words. And he points it out here with a quote, "Grandfather, Great Spirit, once more, behold me on earth and lean forward to hear my feeble voice," you know, asking the Great Spirit to help them survive this. And, you know, and it just shows, as he goes on, the destruction and the humanity drought, peace on famine, starving the circle, the group of life. And that's what was happened. The circle of life was destroyed, and it just caused a domino effect. And, you know, and he brings out the heart here where he says, "That which I have shared, which you shared," because that there's so many cultures where things were taught by voice, and then it was passed on generation to generation with the people, the animals, the trees and the seas, the wind and the sky has been taken from us. And I have nothing left to give this world. This is so deeply touching and heartbreaking because this is what's happening.
Beautiful comment, Lou. Thank you. Okay, Lou, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Okay. Want to say hi to Katie from Scotland. Hey, Katie. Okay. "Southern Winds" by Liquid Mind Forever. Ponies, remember, painted blood, our death taint allocated. Elders chant, sons and daughters' outcries lie wily, defiled, coil like serpents ready to strike. Ancient dreams confiscated, our children cold, wait for suck, but barren lands can feed no First Nations child. Stream rises from rifles, splitting hot steel, stealing words from tongueless buffalo left to rot in the blistering sun, forgot not by our Cherokee ancestors. Greed carves its path for miles along empty trail of tears, mindless, blindless, heartless thieves, thieves, outlast drops of homage on bones engraved by traitors. And as we recover, we uncover what no thief yet discovered. Quilted with native flesh, this majestic land waits, guarded, overlorded by white talons and black feathers, never again to be hoarded nor usurped by crooked leaders. As we dance, no wild pony will be spurred. Waken Tanka, Great Spirit Father, hear our cries of anguish and rise up upon the wizened southern wind. Resend this travesty, pour out traitor's cup." End poem.
Beautiful read. And I liked it. You know, it really speaks to the natives and the atrocities that they saw and lived through, and yet, you know, they couldn't have, you know, they couldn't steal what no thieves had discovered. Quilted with native flesh, this majestic land waits, guarded over, lorded by white talons and black feathers, never again to be hoarded, nor usurped by crooked leaders. As we dance, no wild pony will be spurred. Just a fascinating poem, beautifully written. An excellent read, Lee. Pam, what did you think?
Powerful and hard-hitting, brilliant imagery. I love this all the way through, and it's so sad because it's so much truth spoken in here about the way that the way of life of the Native American people was practically destroyed because of a history of violence and greed. And I particularly, though, like that second stanza because it reminds us of how those acts of betrayal that come from greed. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Louie, what would you like to say?
You know, I thought this was, just like Pam said, it was powerful, it was passionate, and it was truthful. You know, you just have to look at the history books, especially, you know, sometimes they have even caught this on old film that just barely moves, or there's pictures of the amount of bloodshed of animals obliterated, left there to rot. Not even the meat was taken to eat. You know, it was, you know, and it just, horrifying because they could not feed their children. Mothers need, you know, protein and food and milk, you know, to be able to nurse their children. And then to be taken from their land and to be made to cross my family, the empty trail of tears, to move into different lands that did not produce. They could not go out and hunt. You know, yeah, you gave them land, but it wasn't their land. Yeah, you took the good land and gave them the crappy land, you know, and they knew this. But yet they still put restrictions on them on what they could do and couldn't do. And still their children had to be put in religious schools where they were not allowed to use their native tongue and practice their practices. Everything was just stolen from them. And so many things are lost that will never be able to come back, you know, and you know, still to this day, we pray to the Great Spirit to hopefully open the hearts of men to, you know, to let them know that we need to live with our Mother Earth and to respect what the Great Spirit has given us. And, you know, we hope that they listen, because until the Great Spirit steps in, we just hope that they will listen. And I really enjoyed Pam's comment.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we've got time for one more, and this is by Weaver. Weaver of Dreams, and I'm going to play the SoundCloud now.
Yay! Beside, beneath, bound to me by fate, you and I in my dreams are both half of a whole. Between us, we share that need to soar higher, our mind lock as we look into each other's soul. Naught gets clearer, all is dulled by distance. Our lives should entwine as each plays our role. Dreams matter, but what can be done in that realm? I know not where you are as time takes its toll. I feel it, you're on high, moving nearer each minute. My heartbeat is racing, but I must not lose my control. When our spirits meet, you as a hawk, me a butterfly, our dreams will hold strength, completed and whole.
Wow, beautiful read. And I liked it. You know, it really speaks to the multi dimensions that we share and where we meet in the middle. And our dreams will hold strength, completed and whole. Yeah, just a beautiful, touching poem, both love and the power that it brings. So excellent write and excellent read, Weaver. Dan, what did you think?
This is absolutely beautiful. It's thoughtful. It's a wonderful write on soulmates that up from across time and space and the connection they have. And I really liked it all the way through, but especially where she says, then when our spirits meet, you as a hawk, me as a butterfly, our dreams will hold strength, completed and whole. And I like that they become completed and whole having met each other. each with their own individual strengths. So excellent write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Louie Wildove, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was such a beautiful poem by Katie. You know, she talks about the two souls that are just waiting to meet where they're only in the dream, but yet you're bound by them. And you know that your spirit, you know, there's just something when two spiritual souls connect and, you know, you just await for this time. You can feel them. You have them in your dream. Sometimes when we're outside in nature, we sense them. And, you know, we just wait to be connected to them, to be bound by them. And as she puts that out there, when us the hawk, me as a butterfly, our dream will hold strength and complete and whole when they fly together and soar through the universe. This is beautiful.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And I'd like to thank you ladies for calling in tonight to hang out and share your minds, your hearts, most especially your time. Much love.
Much love. Love you guys. Besitos. Thank you, Pam.
Good night,
everyone. Good night, Gray. Happy birthday.
Good night. Thank you. Appreciate it. Much love, people.